Right, praise the Lord. Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to attempt to do part 16 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And also, this, if you want to order, this program number 118. Make sure you specify whether you want a tape or a CD. All right, now, right now we have some letters, and we're going to continue reading about from this book. The book is entitled
The Secret Terrorists.
The Secret Terrorists. And the reason that we want everybody to know who the devil is because the Lord says to resist Satan and he'll flee from you. How would you be able to resist Satan if you didn't know who he was or where he was or who he's living in and who he's working through? So we have to know who Satan is, and that's why some Christians that, or people that call themselves Christians that are Vaticanites come against me because I'm uncovering them, pulling the lid off of that bunch of snakes and worms, you know, so that you can see where the enemy is and where he's coming from, okay? And so we've got, and then what's the author's name?
Bill Hughes.
Bill Hughes, okay. Again, the name of the book and the author?
The Secret Terrorists by Bill Hughes.
Okay, so terrorists are secret. I mean, they're trying to make us believe that they're coming from outside the United States, but don't you think that that was a terrorist act of from you, supposed to be U.S. government officials, that wiped out Waco, and Bill Clinton stated that he took full responsibility for it, and Janet Reno, this lesbian supposed to be attorney general, stated that she took full responsibility for it as well. And they said that this will teach people that they shouldn't go to church at anyone at a cult. In other words, saying that the Seventh-day Adventists, because they exposed the Vatican, are cults. Now, who would have that power to control United States government agents enough to go and tell them to kill a bunch of people that are exposing them? What we've done is defrocked them. We've stripped them naked. They're standing there, and you can see all their ringworm and festering sores all over their rotten, decrepit bodies with the pus oozing out of them. A sickening bunch of weasels. But nevertheless, we pray for creatures, you know, because, and why? We don't go after them with guns because we don't have any to go after them with. And if we had them, we wouldn't do it either because God tells us not to use carnal weapons, but to pray for our enemies. And then God will pour out coals of fire on them if they don't repent. We pray, Father God, that they will be saved. But now they're not just the enemies of ours. They become the enemies of God. And that's why God is going to start pouring out his wrath on this earth. And it's going to happen like tomorrow. And today it could happen. So, you know, you think you're safe over in Billings, Montana, or Dillon, Montana, or over in San Francisco, or in Bellflower, California, or Texarkana, Texas. God can leash out at you and destroy you if you believe that the people that are of the Lord are of the devil and that the people that are of the devil are of the Lord. God hates people that believe that when we're preaching the truth. Now, which one message have you heard from the Vatican that is the truth? Is that the truth when they say, I can beat you in dominoes? Anyone want to play dominoes? What does that mean? Okay, well, right now we're going to go up to the throne of the Lord. We're not going to go to the Vatican where the devil sits, but we're going to the throne of the Lord and ask the Father, the Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, to take over this service by the Holy Spirit. Father, let everything that's done on this tape and this message be from you. And let everybody that believes that it's wrong to expose Satan and his cult, his government, and the media, let every one of them receive the truth, because they're in such darkness that they're in the ditch. And they need to be pulled up out of the ditch, Lord, that their souls can be saved. And that the church can get wind of the truth, because there's nobody really exposing them out there in radio or television land like I am, like you're doing through me. And we ask, Lord, that souls will be saved from this message of yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, that everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, then go ahead. Where's the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor in Christ, it is through your powerful and wonderful literature that God has given me this opportunity to inform you this letter. Pastor, thank you for sending me your powerful literature and the Bible. I use it to win souls for Christ in my town. Please, Pastor, any time I read your literature and the Bible, then I cast my mind to the death of Christ. He died for our sins so that we may repent and have salvation.
Yeah, but more than that, he died, he was buried, he went to hell for us, and then he conquered hell. He rose from hell, got back into his human body with the Spirit, and he was resurrected from the dead. That's the big time message. That's the big one. And then later he ascended into the kingdom of God, which completes the actual garment, the thing that he had to go through in order to be the garment for us to wear, the new wine to be in us, and also for us to be in the wine bag, the wine skin, the bottle, the body of Christ, the church, the New Jerusalem. And so I just thank and praise the Lord that he did more than just die for us. No, he died and rose. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He rose from the dead. He's not dead. He said, behold, I am he who was dead, but look at me now. I'm alive forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So that's he raised from the dead also for you. All right. Then what?
Pastor, I have distributed the literature that you sent to me to my friends and church members. But, Pastor, one thing is that because your literature helps people to repent, more people are demanding for more copies. So I am writing you this letter to ask you for more copies. Please, Pastor.
Well, sure, we'll send you a container full of them if you want. We'll send it by ship. We want to win souls as badly as you do, brother. I mean, I want to win them so much that the Lord actually gives me the messages. And I also put them on tape and I write them. And we also ship them out. And we spend, whatever the Lord gives us to ship them out. We'll send as many as we can, and as many as you can use. All right? Then what?
Please, Pastor, I will need about 500 copies in all. Well, Pastor,
well, that's no problem at all. We've got millions, okay, of copies. Then what?
Well, Pastor, some of my church members and my friends are telling me to ask you to send them Bibles.
Yes, we'll send them too. Okay, then what?
They said they want to win souls for Christ, so they will need a Bible to do the work of God. Pastor, one thing is that some go to church without a Bible and even without good dress. So if you can help those people with some t-shirts and Bibles, they will be very happy and win souls for Christ.
Tell me how many. How many Bibles, how many t-shirts, and what sizes. Amen?
Amen.
And there's no problem. Okay, then what?
Pastor, if you can, send them about 5 t-shirts and holy Bibles. They will be very happy.
What sizes, sir? You know, I'm so detailed. People get so angry at me. Okay, because, I don't want to send a small bunch of small t-shirts for people that are like extra large or double XL or triple XL. We've got them 4X also. Okay, then what?
Please, Pastor, God is blessing you through these good works you are doing, so don't worry and try to help them.
Don't worry and try to help. Who? What does he mean by that?
The people with the Bibles and t-shirts.
Don't try to help them?
No, don't worry and try to help them.
Oh, I won't try. Jesus never tried to get on the cross. He got on the cross. And I don't try to send stuff to people. I send it, okay?
Amen.
We go through the whole bit. What else?
Thank you. May the Lord richly bless you as you are willing to do his will. Amen.
Oh, yeah, I'm willing. What else?
Yours in his presence, Charles from Ghana, Africa.
Okay, and then what else here?
Then we have an email from Batavia, New York, from Lena. I would like to receive literature and taped messages, for I would love to learn more about the Lord and Jesus. So please put me on your list. Thank you for your time, Lena from Batavia, New York.
Okay, well, if you want to learn more about the Lord, don't ask the Vatican.
Amen.
The only thing you're going to learn from them is that you shouldn't follow the Lord, and that you should believe in the devil, them. All right? And they'll turn you into like a vicious pit bull. Then what else?
And
we pray that God, you'll save their souls, all of them, in Jesus' name. Blessed is the peacemaker and not the troublemaker. But know this, that they're the troublemakers. Amen?
Amen.
And we're trying to bring them to the Prince of Peace by preaching the gospel, because the Bible says that there's no other way that people can get saved. He says that he wills that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. Okay, so why then, who but the devil would try to stop us from preaching the gospel? Of course, because they don't want your soul to be saved. Now, I'm already saved. Really, I've got it made. If I die right now, praise the Lord, I'm going to be right in the kingdom of heaven. But what about you? If they kill you, or some catastrophe hits, and you die, and you're not saved, you're going to be in hell in the lake of fire for a long, long time. It never ends. Eternity is never ending. And there's no way that you can get out of there or get rid of the pain that's there. And you'll never eat or drink or sit down again. You'll just be throwing yourself against the pit, crying out, mercy. And there is no mercy, because you didn't have mercy enough to get to receive God's mercy and then go and give it to other people. How do you give God's mercy to other people? You preach the gospel to them, because it pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel that you hear me preaching on the air right now, okay? And the gospel that I write. Now go ahead, finish.
Next letters from Burkina Faso in Africa. Pastor Alamo, the Lord bless you. I have received your letter and the literature. May the Most High pour out his blessings upon your ministry for the advancement of his work. My warmest greetings to your blessed family and all the members of your congregation. May the Lord grant you his mercy so that we may meet in his glorious kingdom. God is a Father who hears and answers the prayers of his servants at the right moment for the glory of his name alone. Pastor Lama, without a doubt, God has helped you in his plan to respond to the multiple requests for the many different needs that are raised up by his children every day from the earth towards his throne of mercy.
Oh, I know that, and I thank and praise the Lord for it, because I want to help. I want to help. And I want to help those poor creatures that are possessed by the devil to get saved, and to help them to learn the Word of God. And if they would only let me do it, I'm more than willing, even though they may have lied about us and told all God, sent me to prison on false charges, I still would forgive them, for sure, if they would repent. I mean, that's all I ask. That would be the most glorious thing, for them to repent and believe the gospel and get saved and become brothers and sisters with us. We don't wish anybody any harm whatsoever. And the Lord doesn't want anybody to go to hell either. That's why he is has us preaching the gospel. And then when people don't wise up and receive it, well, then he starts chastening them with earthquakes and tsunamis and all sorts of dreaded diseases, sicknesses, illnesses, and he lets things happen to people that they don't want to happen to them, so that they're in hopes that they'll cry out for mercy to the Lord. If they do, and they will really serve him and give him all their life and leave their old life behind, the Lord will save their soul and give them the kingdom of God, and keep them completely for eternity, and keep them completely out of the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
For sinners, the salvation of their souls. For the sick, it is the healing of their bodies. And the indispensable support for the missionary work for the salvation of lost souls. Pastor, it is often astonishing when the Lord answers our prayers in an unexpected way. This is what he has done for us. May his name be glorified forever. Since 1990, I have been praying for the Lord with all my heart for help in the missionary work, that He would send workers into His fields and supply all their needs. When the Lord called me to this task of winning souls, I got involved without hesitation, all the time with my requests. Just toward the end of 2004, when the Lord told me to leave the Ivory Coast and go to Burkina Faso, I received one of your newsletters. This caused great joy within me to write to you. Thank you, Pastor, for your literature that is...
Do you know any literature from the Vatican that gives you great rejoicing in your soul?
No.
No, there's just bitterness and hatred and murder and thievery and violence and mass destruction to people at the World Trade Center and the Federal Building and Waco Massacre and all the different things that they do, the Pentagon. And the people in the government, a lot of people in the government don't realize that they're being used by this vicious, filthy, satanic Antichrist. Now that Satan lives in and works in and through. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor, for your literature that is full of supernatural teachings which do good to those who read it. I'm asking for 2,000 copies of each one of the newsletters in French. Pastor, I now am a part of this difficult mission of touching many lost souls throughout the world. I'm consecrating my body, soul, and spirit for His work. Pastor, I have 3 large requests that I would like you to pray to our Heavenly Father for His quick intervention on. For the evangelism of North Africa, Libya, Mauritania, Algeria, Morocco, etc. I would like to be trained for 3 to 6 months in an English country to be more useful. We are praying to the Lord about the needs of the converts who do not have any resources. We meet many of them in this situation. For the sweatshirts, I need 20 of them of all different sizes, white and color. Pastor,
tell us what size you need. Come on, it just takes a little effort to find out how many smalls, how many mediums, how many larges, how many extra larges, how many double extra larges, etc. Triple extra large and 4X. Now, come on, you know, help us out. We just can't send stuff without, you know, we may send the wrong sizes, and we don't want to waste any money or t-shirts or sweatshirts, okay? And then what?
Pastor, I would like the communication to be made by email. I'm waiting for a favorable reply to my requests. I thank you for your availability for the service. May the Almighty God bless you abundantly. Signed, Peter from Burkina Faso.
Okay, like with the email, that's great. Respond back to them as to what I said on this tape and tell them that we read their letter on the tape and that we'll send them a copy if they like. All right, is there any more?
No.
Okay, now we're going to read some more of this book that is written. The name of the book is
The Secret Terrorists
by
Bill Hughes.
Okay, now we're picking up on this Waco Massacre situation, and hopefully we'll have some time left over for part number 16 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Then go ahead.
Koresh had another situation involving federal authorities. On an April 21, 1993 television interview, Henry McMahon, who owned a gun store in Waco, stated that, quote, David Koresh has purchased at least $50,000 worth of firearms for me.
See, we've never done anything like that. And if David Koresh really did that, well, then that was a big mistake, because that gave the government justification to go in there and kill them. Even though they didn't use the guns at all, that puts up a red flag to the government. And even though the amendment to the Constitution says that everybody should have the right to bear arms to protect them from a satanic government like this, we still don't bear arms, and we discourage people from doing that because they have all this atomic power and they've got all these people brainwashing, they'll come and kill you. So if they kill us, we want you to all know that we didn't fight them. We're trying to just preach the gospel to them, and that's all. And we don't believe in, we believe that our weapon is the Word of God. And that's the greatest weapon in the entire world, is to win the world by preaching the gospel. Okay, then what else?
In July of 1992, BATF officers came to my store asking about Korish and his gun purchases. I called David Korish while the BATF were still in the store. Korish told me that if there is a problem, tell them to come out here. I offered to take the BATF agents out to the Mount Carmel Church to see the firearms the Korish had purchased, but the BATF agents declined. Unquote.
Yeah, because they want to go and kill him. They didn't want to make peace. The Vatican ordered them dead because their doctrine is totally against Catholicism. And if you wonder why they did it, it's because they're anti-Catholic, just like I am. I'm not against the actual Catholics, but I'm against the doctrine that they shouldn't read the Bible and so on. Okay, because that's terrible that people would say, don't read the Bible. My God, that's God. That's God's word. That gives us direction in this world of what to do and what's going to happen, and shows us how late it is in the day of the coming of the Lord. And he tells us of all these different plagues that are going to be hitting, that have been hitting the earth and are going to get more intense as the days roll by. We just saw on TV the other day a big mudslide covered up 2,000 people, an entire village, and wiped them out. Not even one chance for no mercy from them at all, because they were more than likely Muslims and refused to believe in Christ. And there's more of it going to come. They may have been persecutors of Christ, persecutors of Christians, and it's going to happen to you as well. And it's going to happen for sure. Why? Because God's word says so. Okay, then what?
Korish had been extremely cooperative in 1987, then again in 1992. There was obviously some sinister reason why federal agents under the leadership of Bill Clinton perpetrated such cruelty at Mount Carmel.
They're not federal agents. They're Rome's agents posing or pretending to be U.S. agents. U.S. agents don't burn people up, kill them. They don't do that. They've never done that in history. Then what else?
Let us investigate the real reason for the Waco massacre. If David Korish was the prime target of the government, why was he not arrested peacefully so that so many innocent lives would not have been lost? The claims or lies of the BATF were that Korish never was out of the church where he could be arrested.
No, the FBI agent, the BATF agent, undercover agent John Peeler stated that it was a turkey shoot. They tried to recruit him to go to, and he said he didn't want any part of it, that they went there to kill him and those kids, then women and children, or you could say children and women, but also there were some men there. Amen. Okay, then what?
Paul Fata, a Branch Davidian who was out on errands when the raid started, made this comment in many press releases. Quote, David Korish, others, and myself have gone jogging down the road 3 miles from the church many times. Why wasn't he arrested then? We were off the property several times. Unquote. Why wasn't Korish arrested on one of those jogging outings and when he was in Waco? Did the Branch Davidians know they were being attacked by federal agents? David Thibodeau, a Waco survivor, was interviewed on A Current Affair, a national television show, May 3, 1993. He declared that one of the members of the Branch Davidians, Wayne Martin, a Harvard-trained attorney, called 911 shortly after the federal agents stormed the church. He was put through to another agency, and the person said, quote, well, hi, boys, how y'all doing out there?
Yeah, they're just like, how you doing, boys? They're calling 911, and the call didn't go to the police station. It just went to one of these Vaticanites and said, how you doing, boys? Having fun over there? Here they're being shot at. And the guy's just mocking him on the phone. Then they play Nancy Sinatra's, you know, these boots are made for walking all over you, because you're not a Vaticanite, you're not a Catholic. You're not of the devil, because the devil wants to kill you, and we're going to. Okay, keep going.
Wayne Martin screams into the phone, quote, we're getting shot at, we're getting killed, we're getting killed.
Well, how are you doing, boys? And here's this guy, this weasel on the phone saying, how y'all doing? You having fun over there? You know? Why are you getting shot at? Well, my. Then what?
Since all 911 calls are preserved, it seems that it would be easy to confirm this phone call. But as Current Affair reporter Mary Garofalo stated, quote, it has become a controversial recording that the police refused to release to the press, unquote. There was absolutely no response to that emergency 911 call.
Yeah,
Why not? They
didn't want anybody playing that call on the phone. Hey, we're being shot. We're being shot. Well, how you doing, boss? You doing okay over there? And here the kids, they're shooting in at the building there, and the kids, of course, he waved a white flag out there and tried to surrender, and they shot him in the stomach and in the arm or someplace else. And then all they're doing is just mocking him. They went there to kill him. Then what?
Only people working for a power that hates our liberties and freedoms could do such a thing. Jesuit Bill Clinton, who took a solemn oath to obey the Constitution, totally ignored the Constitution in the abomination that occurred at Waco. Quote, "It is here that the tremendous power of the Catholic Church makes itself felt. It is through this Jesuit direction that statesmen are compelled to act, not for the benefit of the country to which they belong, but for the benefit of the Church, which controls them. It is here that matters of the most secret nature are discussed and decided," unquote. M. F. Cusack, The Black Pope, Marshall, Russell and Company, page 106, emphasis added.
It isn't the church, it's the cult. It's an abomination to call that cult a church. Okay, then what?
We should explain here that the name Black Pope is the name or title given to the Supreme Jesuit General, who is probably the most powerful man in the world. He remains totally in the background, and very few even know about him.
I don't call that powerful anybody that's led by the Satan. Satan has already been defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross when the Lord says that defeating the Satan, it is finished. In other words, I'm going down to hell now, and I'm going to raise from the hell, death and the grave, and I'm going to ascend into heaven. Salvation is already provided for you. So anybody that thinks they're powerful because they're with the Catholic cult, and believe me, you're not powerful at all. You need to repent and get into the Lord so that your soul can be saved. If you're not in the body of Christ or in the temple of Christ, or you're not being used as his temple, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. And it's not a pleasant thing for you or for anybody. And so I don't want to go there. I know that the Lord is real and the things that I'm preaching is real because the Lord has shown me a lot of signs and wonders. And I was saved in a supernatural way, almost the same way as the Apostle Paul was. The Lord actually came and got me himself. I didn't have any faith in anybody on the face of this earth. I didn't believe anybody because I've met so many liars. But when the Lord came to me, I knew it was the truth. And I've actually seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. With my eyes wide open, I was wide awake. And I've seen many other visions and dream visions. And so you better believe me because I really know the Lord. Okay, then what?
Let us next investigate the charges of physical or sexual abuse at the Mount Carmel Church. James Tom, an ex-Davidian, was the loudest critic of the Branch Davidians. He stated that David Koresh spanked Tom's daughter for 30 to 40 minutes, and Tom, who was standing right there, did nothing to stop it.
If he spanked any kid for 30 to 40 minutes, they'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could be beaten for 30 or 40 minutes. The man is a liar. Then what?
If David Koresh truly spanked his daughter for 30 to 40 minutes, how could a father be so afraid that he would not intervene to stop it?
Yeah, do you think that I would allow anybody to whip my little girl for 30 to 40 minutes?
No.
I'd have to, give them a spanking.
Amen.
Amen. Only we're only allowed to, get them 40 times, not for 30 or 40 minutes. That's definitely unscriptural. Then what else?
Tom declared that Koresh was the image of Charles Manson. If Koresh was the image of Manson, why would Tom join in the first place?
What is he doing over there at Manson's place, huh? Okay, what else?
When 21 children were allowed to leave the Mount Carmel Center, the Houston Post stated, quote, "The 21 children were psychologically in good condition. They were in good condition physically, and they were also very well educated," unquote.
In other words, they'd ask them questions, and they answered rationally. And there were no beating marks on them or anything like that. It was just a big lie. They did the same thing to us because the government was saying the same thing about us. They heard it over a couple hundred of our children outside. And it was like frost on the ground and everything. They made them sit down on the ground, and they embarrassed them all by taking their pants down to inspect their behinds. And they went away disappointed because there wasn't even one mark on any of them. And they're all very intelligent as well. When I was in the Van Buren jail, they put me there waiting trial for this false IRS charge. The cops were saying, "You're Waco too." And I says, "Well, no, I'm not. I'm not going to be Waco too. I've got God, okay? I'm close to God." And the Lord would warn me if those weasels were coming. And I would pray to him and say, "Lord, if they're going to do me harm and you don't want them to, then you said vengeance is yours. I will repay. So, Lord, you have to keep your word, so let's do it." Okay, then what else? In Jesus' name. Go ahead.
In fact, the children who left Mount Carmel were not physically, mentally, morally, or psychologically abused at all. David Koresh was demonized by those most guilty of the massacre to be some absolutely crazy monster.
Yeah, the news media did that. The government told the news media what to say. The Pope told the government, and the government told the media, and the Pope told the media, "Here's the story, you got to get out on these guys, otherwise we're going to take a beating." Okay, then what?
Bob Ricks, the man in charge of the Waco massacre, stated that David Koresh was a classical sociopath. Quote, "It was Ricks who had been in charge at Waco," unquote, the UK Observer, April 22, 2001.
If there were psychopaths or sociopaths, it was these satanic Catholics, these Jesuits, because they're the ones that even if the kids were being spanked, they murdered them. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what's worse, getting spanked or being murdered? Amen. You idiots. How could you be so idiotic that you think that they had the right to kill these kids because they were being abused? What's more abusive than what they did? Then what?
Attorney General Janet Reno called him, quote, "a dangerous criminal," unquote.
Yeah, well, she's a dangerous lesbian because these lesbians and homosexuals try to turn your children on to be homosexuals. And if you're a homosexual and your children become homosexuals, they're going straight to hell if they don't repent. They say, "Well, we're born that way." Well, that's why the Lord says you need to be born again of the Spirit. And He'll wash all that filthy sin away from you and live in you and give you the power to where that satanic sin doesn't have power over you any longer. Okay, then what?
Fort Worth News columnist Bill Thompson called him, quote, "a vile mass murderer," unquote.
And what did he mass murder? They're the mass murderers. Look at, they just got through bombing on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and all these people over here at the Oklahoma City Federal Building and all those people in Iran, Iraq, over in Romania. They're the killers. We're the mass murderers. Why don't you look at things in the right way, in the straight way? The news media has got you hooked, and you're becoming insane just like they are by believing their garbage. Okay, then what? And you probably believe that it's right to give away our seaports so that these weasels can bring in these briefcase atomic bombs and put them all over the place. What a time to do this. 1 minute we're supposed to be bombing them, and now we're going to give them the seaports. You know, of course Satan doesn't make sense. You try to rationalize that, and then they get on and try to give you some rationale. Some speechwriter that is totally possessed with the devil gives this speech to Bush, and he gets up there, and you can see him looking and reading and doing just exactly what these guys told him to do. He's a puppet. Just like his father was, just like Clinton was, just like all these presidents were. You'd have to be the stupidest idiot in the world to be a president, because you are a slave to the Vatican and to that maniac that sits in there that calls himself the Vicar of God. Okay, then what?
And Bill Clinton referred to him as, quote, "dangerous, irrational, and probably insane," unquote.
Well, I believe that Clinton is insane. I know he is. There's no doubt about that. Because I've got many tapes on him to tell how many people he's murdered because they knew about him. And so he's nuts. Especially he lied to the American people. If he tells one lie, he'll tell more. And the foolish American people just bow and just love him so much because they're liars, and they just figure, well, he's just one of us. But the Bible says, no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. The Lord condemns liars. The Bible says that Satan is a liar, a thief, and a robber. He's a robber. He's a destroyer. And that's what he's doing, is destroying people. He's lying about them. He's killing people. I mean, you know, just innocent people. And there's no remorse whatsoever. They don't have any conscience about that. And the, quote, U.S. government has never prosecuted them for killing all those people. So that means that some people, according to Catholicism, are above the law. In other words, these bastards could murder you and your kids, and they'd be off scot-free. But the Bible says, and also the government says, if somebody kills somebody, they're supposed to die. Amen?
Amen.
But not if they're Jesuits. If they're Jesuits and pretending to be United States government agents, they shouldn't be penalized whatsoever. As a matter of fact, all these homosexual priests, they are transported to the Vatican, and they're just hid away for a while. And they probably give them their daily amount of altar boys to molest so that they don't go completely berserk. Amen?
Amen.
I wonder, why don't they tell us how many altar boys they deliver to them every day that they can molest to pacify them? Okay, what else?
These people practice what V.I. Lenin advised, quote, call your enemy what you are and always tell the exact opposite of the truth, unquote. David Koresh was demonized to try to justify their heinous crime. Another most despicable crime of the Waco murders was the spraying of CS gas into the church at the women and small children. U.S. Congressman Ron Paul stated that, quote, CS gas is banned under the Paris Convention on Chemical Warfare.
The Paris?
Paris Convention.
Paris. P-A-R-I-S, right?
Yes.
Not parish. Okay, then what?
CS gas is banned under the Paris Convention on Chemical Warfare. The U.S. could not use it in war. It is illegal, but they would use it against their own citizens, unquote. The Washington Times, April 23, 1993. Benjamin Garrett, executive director of Chemical and Biological Arms Control, stated, quote, CS gas would have most harshly affected the children. The smaller you are, the sooner you would feel the response. IBID, unquote. CS gas is one of the most cruel poisons that the government could have used against the small children. Pictures from the massacre showed small children burned black with their backs arched backward in what had to have been a most horrible death. The people that gave the order for CS gas to be pumped into the Waco church had called David Koresh some terrible names. They also stated they...
Yeah, like ex-President Clinton and his lesbian attorney general, Reno. Okay, then what?
They also stated that they pumped the gas in for the sake of the children. The awful names...
Oh, man, I'm glad, you know, maybe we should... people should pump gas into their place for the sake of them, huh? Would you like to, you people over at the Vatican, would you like people to pump that kind of gas into your house for the sake of your children? You stinking devils, you brute bastards. Then what?
The awful names applied to Koresh applied to them. And the same people, Bill Clinton, Janet Reno, and Bob Ricks, murdered those children at Waco. With so many crimes committed at Waco by people in high places, we turn to the aftermath of the Waco tragedy. Many times, an event can be better understood by the events that transpire after it. Who benefits? Was any controversial legislation passed that would destroy constitutional liberty? Was this payback for something done in the past? 2 weeks after the massacre at Mount Carmel Church, John Chaffee, a senator from Rhode Island, called for a new law that would be a nationwide ban on handgun ownership. It would prohibit the sale, possession, importing, and exporting of handguns. Had Chaffee's proposal become law, it would have torn a huge gap in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which says, quote, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, unquote.
Now, still, I say we don't have arms because we know this bunch of devils. If we had them, that would give them justification to raid us. They raided us on several occasions and found no weapons whatsoever and no child abuse whatsoever. And yet people have They blackballed me by telling all these lies. And if you were Christians, they would blackball you too. They blackballed Jesus to the point where they actually put him in jail and nailed him to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
And was there something wrong with Jesus? Well, you devils in Rome would say there is, but I say that he's God Almighty come in the flesh, and that he's going to come back and execute wrath on you, you bunch of weasels. Okay, what else?
Every gun law that Congress passes is an infringement against this right. Who wants to disarm American citizens? No one wants to be the dictator of a nation with 200 million guns around.
Well, right. Well, the Vatican wants to disarm the United States of America because they've taken it over. They've given it away, and now they're giving away the seaports. Now they should give the Mexican borders away to the Mexicans so that they can watch the borders for us. Hmm? Well, the Mexican government will make sure that there's no... They won't even have to be called wetbacks anymore. They'll provide rafts or something for them, right? Okay, then what?
When the citizens of a nation are armed, where their right to own guns is not infringed, the crime rate is extremely low. Every man in Switzerland is required to have guns in his home, including assault rifles. Crime in Switzerland is almost non-existent.
Right, because if you come over to somebody's house to rob them, they have the authority there to shoot, to kill. Or if some government like Germany was going to come over there, Hitler ordered his men to go over there in Germany and into Switzerland and take the place over. And they said, if you send people over here, the Swiss said, they won't come back. Okay, and I believe that's in this article as well. Go ahead.
In states and cities in America that allow people to carry guns, the crime rate is extremely low. During World War II, Hitler wanted to invade Switzerland. The Swiss told him that he could send his army across the border, but none of his officers would return. Hitler gave the order to invade Switzerland several times, but his officers simply would not obey.
Yeah, we're not going over there. Them people got guns. The dude got a gun. Right? Okay, then what?
Switzerland remained safely neutral all during the war. Who had hated the Constitution from the very beginning? From the very inception of this Constitution, the Jesuits have sought to destroy the Constitution. They called the Constitution a satanic document.
The freedom of religion is satanic, right? And the freedom of speech is satanic. God doesn't even take our will away from us. Only the devil tries to take your will away. That's why those that the Lord sets free are free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
The great French General Lafayette once said, quote, "It is my opinion that if the liberties of this country, the United States, are destroyed, it will be by the subtlety of the Roman Catholic Jesuit priests. For they are the most crafty, dangerous enemies to civil and religious liberty."
Abraham Lincoln said the same thing, and so did Samuel Morse, the man that invented the Morse code. Then what else?
"They have instigated most of the wars in Europe." Unquote.
And also the telegraph. Okay, then what else?
Eric John.
Yeah, they have not instigated most of the wars. They've instigated all the wars. All wars. The Bible says that he's the mother of every abomination, okay? Then what?
Eric John Phelps, Vatican Assassins, Helicon Unified Services, page 54. "The Jesuits used their man, Bill Clinton, to instigate and carry out the destruction at Waco. They hoped to then be able to pass the illegal laws that would effectively abolish the Second Amendment to the Constitution in the aftermath."
Now, a lot of people might get bored at all this, and you're just probably yawning, but if it was you there... And if you had your children there and they were doing this to you, you wouldn't be bored. You'd be keenly alert. And you'd be wondering, what's going on? Okay, then what?
"It is easy to identify the Jesuits and the Jesuit puppets in the United States Congress because they are the ones that continually try to get restrictive gun legislation passed. There was another reason for Waco that Bill Clinton disclosed April 19th and 20th of 1993. This statement was made in the Rose Garden and can be found in White House press release documents. quote, "I want to say, as I did yesterday, I am very sorry for the loss of life which occurred at the beginning and at the end of this tragedy in Waco. I hope very much that others who will be tempted to join cults and to become involved with people like David Koresh will be deterred by the horrible scenes they have seen over the last 7 weeks."
The horrible scenes were caused by him and Janet Reno. Okay, then what?
"And I hope very much that the difficult situations which federal agents confronted there, and which they will be doubtless required to confront in other contexts in the future, will be somewhat better handled and better understood because of what has been learned now." Unquote. In his own words, Clinton issued a warning and a threat to anyone who would dare join a religious group that was a so-called cult. To Clinton and his agents, a cult is a group that is not part of any mainstream religious organization. Every major religious organization has been infiltrated and taken over by the Jesuits. They want everyone to stay in the mainstream organizations so that they can more easily be indoctrinated. Anyone outside the main churches will be more difficult to brainwash. According to ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera, all the mainstream churches were taken over by 1980. Dr. Rivera explained that when he was under the extreme oath of the Jesuits, he was told that a secret sign was to be given to the Jesuits worldwide when the ecumenical movement had been successfully wiped out, Protestantism, in preparation for the signing of a concordat between the Vatican and the U.S. Quote, "The sign was to be when a president of the U.S. took his oath of office facing an obelisk. For the first time in U.S. history, the swearing-in ceremonies were moved to the west front of the Capitol. President Reagan faced the Washington Monument. This happened January 20th, 1981.
I've exposed this before many years ago, but this is just, reading this because I've written several tracts on the Waco massacre and then the John Peeler piece of literature, and I've done many radio broadcasts on it, and I'm just showing that other people believe the way I do, even Abraham Lincoln and Samuel Morris and so many millions of other people believe the same thing. So we're not alone, okay? Billions of people believe that the Vatican is the Antichrist and the people that work for her are members of the Antichrist body. Then what?
Jack Chick, The Godfathers, Alberto, Part 3, Chick Publications, page 26. Waco was a warning not to join an independent church where the truth about the papacy and the Antichrist would be exposed. Bill Clinton declared that Waco was a warm-up and confronting religious groups would happen again. Does this sound like the words of a man who would defend the constitutional rights of U.S. citizens, or does it sound like a Jesuit who is carrying out the plans of the papacy? Remember, in the secret congress at Chiri, it was declared, quote, "Protestantism must therefore be utterly abolished. Catholics shall be imbued with hatred for all heretics. A heretic is anyone who does not believe the Catholic religion, anyone who opposes the Pope, and anyone who believes the Pope is the Antichrist. We shall strike deadly blows at heresy. They little think the Jesuits have in store for them the censorship gags and flames and will one day be their masters." Unquote. Hector McPherson, The Jesuits in History, Ozark Book Publishers, Appendix 1. Bill Clinton was a Jesuit determined to carry out the Jesuit plan at Chiri. Pope John Paul II has stated it very clearly, quote, "The proselytizing activity of the sects and new religious groups of America is a grave hindrance to the work of evangelization. What he means is that there are independent religious groups that are hindering the papacy's drive to take over the world."
And I'm one of them, all right? The Lord through me is one of them. Okay, then what else?
"The success of proselytism by the sects and new religious groups in America cannot be ignored. It demands of the church on the continent a thorough study to be carried out in each nation and at the international level for the response to the challenge of the sects to be effective. There is a need for an appropriate coordination of initiatives among dioceses aimed at bringing about a more effective cooperation through shared projects which will produce better results."
Now, why don't you ask Benny Hinn if he's a Catholic or not? See if he'll admit that he is. He's already admitted it, and so has Jan and Paul Crouch, and so has the Crystal Cathedral, and so has Jack Van Impe. They're all Jesuit priests. And, you know, they're just coming out of the closet more and more. Jack Van Impe just figures that they've got it made. He wants to be with the world order. Somebody that's so vile as him and these other people, they're going to burn. And they don't realize that they are very... Satan knows that his time is short, and these people are not smart enough to know that their time is short as well. You people, you've had it. You've had it. You've led many people into the dirty, filthy lie. Okay, then, what else?
Pope John Paul II, The Challenge of the Sects, Exhortation, Article 73. All of these new religious groups have one thing in common. They all believe that the evil Antichrist system of Bible prophecy is the papacy. Malachi Martin discusses these groups and says they, quote, are destined to undergo a series of severe shocks and mutations as, willy-nilly, they adapt themselves to the new globalism emanating from more powerful groups.
Okay, that's enough. My brother Danny interviewed this Malachi Martin on his a radio broadcast in Nashville. And they're so cunning that people actually believe that they're coming against their own cult, but they're not. Now we're going to get into part 16 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Okay, so Sharon, you want to come here and let's begin. I mean, this is just a warning to you people that the government agents in this country are your enemies. If you can't see that, well, then you're totally blind, as the Lord said you would be. He says the whole world is deceived. But we Christians are not of this world, so we're not deceived. We're of the kingdom of heaven. But you people of the world that believe in the world system, you're deceived. And you're in darkness. And you're blind. And you're dead in your sins and trespasses. And the Bible says that the dead know nothing. You don't know anything. And so you need to repent so that you can know the Lord and that you can know what's going on in this world and that's what's going to happen to you very soon. You think that you'd be safe if you believe in the Vatican and the world system today and the media. But you're not safe because God is going to strike you with some kind of plague. It's going to be soon. And if he kills you before you're saved, your soul is not going to escape hell. You're going to be in the lake of fire forevermore. So consider that. Think about that. If you've got any, if you've got a brain, you'll think about that. Okay. Now let's start How to Have God's Life Living in You. And the reason I'm saying that is because that's what this is all about. If God's life is not living in you, then you're not a Christian. Okay, go ahead.
Christ is the real life.
Yeah, now, see, we all have life, but Christ is the real life. The life that we have in us is just symbolic, or a type, or a shadow, or a figure of the eternal life, which God gives us when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ with God the Father and the Holy Spirit in you. So, read that again.
Christ is the real life.
Yeah, he's the real life. The life that we have is not the real life. It's just a shadow of the real life. Then what? Or a figure. Then what?
The life that we now live without Christ in us is not the real life.
Right? It's temporary. Temporal. Then what?
It's but a figure or a symbol or a type that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting life belongs to Christ.
Yeah, and we can have that life if we belong to Christ. We have to belong to Christ. Christ has to be in us, and we have to be in him. And if we are, then we have immortality, eternal life. We're going to heaven, and there's no way that we're going to go to hell or the lake of fire, providing we walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then what?
Christ is the real life for us. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have eternal life.
And you don't have the real life. Okay, then what?
You surely may say that you're living and that you have life in your body, but it's not going to last very long. You've got to realize that this is not the real life. It is merely a shadow, figure, symbol, pointing to the real life, the eternal life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Right, and it's you also if you surrender your life to him so that you can have his life. What you do is you give up a temporal thing to receive an eternal thing. In other words, I'm investing in eternity. If I'm investing the life that I have here in this world, my temporal life, so that I can have his eternal life, that's a great deal for me. Amen? Then what?
Jesus also is the only truth. Let every man be called a liar, but let the Lord God be called the truth. Jesus is God. Christ also, as you've been hearing, is our bridegroom, and he has four new things that appear in Matthew chapter 9. Then we go to chapter 11 and 12. Now the best person to be around, the most wonderful person, the most calming and pleasant person, is the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. There's nobody else in the entire universe that could deal with. How pleasant it is to be with the bridegroom. There's some people that you enjoy their company, and there's some people that you just don't. But when I saw Jesus, there wasn't anything. It was the most yearning thing to be around the Almighty God.
It was the most pleasant thing to be around him and to see him, and that he knew me better than I knew myself, and he knew me better than anybody else knew me. Then what else?
I really enjoyed, even for a few brief seconds, to see his face, to see his body sitting on that throne-like chair that was purple and gold. It wasn't a presumptuous type chair or throne. It was very nice, though. So chapter 9 tells us how to be calming and happy, very pleasant. But in chapter 11 and 12, we learn to have the genuine Sabbath or rest. Every one of the passages in Matthew between chapter 11 and 12 are very closely connected. So you see the words, quote, at that time, unquote, in chapter 11, verse 25. This is King James Version that I'm reading from. Throughout the entire Bible, small words like these are very significant. God's word is very true. The meaning is so full. There is nothing that is waste. Jesus never spoke any wasted words. So in chapter 11, verse 25, quote, at that time, unquote, we have to find out what time he's talking about.
Well, he's talking about also in the Bible that now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And another thing is my time is run out here for this radio broadcast, and so what we always do, what I do at the end of every broadcast, is give everybody an opportunity to be clothed upon with the eternal life. Your life is temporal. If you died today, your soul, if you're not in the Lord, or the Lord is not in you, your soul is going to spend eternity in hell. It's a serious thing. A lot of people have been brain damaged, or they've been deceived, and they just don't believe that, but it's the truth, because it's the Word of God. And you can be born again of the Spirit and have a permanent life in you, eternal life, if you just say these words to the Lord. This is the beginning. And we have a whole series I have of these different messages that will teach you how to have God's life living in you. And if you might have learned enough right now to have his life living in you, by all you have to do is say these words to him and mean them with all your heart and soul, and see if it won't be so. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. And therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. You said, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, we did finish that Waco thing today, and we got into part 16. And tomorrow, we're going to get into part 17. If you want a copy of this tape, it's tape number 118. You can get a CD or a tape. Just specify. And until tomorrow, just read the Word of God, because you'll find out that the things that are happening in this world, read chapter 24 of Matthew. You'll see that the things that the Lord said would happen are happening right now, just before his return. And until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. Really pray to him, because and thank him, because he inhabits the praises of his saints. Goodbye. Praise the Lord.